but made no attempt to educate themselves, live in a kind of dissolving phantasmagoria of a world. That is, they completely forget what happened last Tuesday.
Freedom in a vacuum. The last Sunday of each month at 11 p.m.
Vous écoutez CKLM FM 88,1 Toronto.
What do we start with the tape first?
Yeah.
Okay, tape first.
What I wanted to be able to do was to give an ode to Bob Dobbs. That's something that I would like to do at this time. So that's O-W-E-D. Here goes. Regular listeners to the Church of Subgenius will have noticed that Bob has come across differently in the past two installments. This has coincided with the traveling of his physical body into pink zones. We may wish at this time to offer our collective compassion and solidarity with his mission. We may also, as budding Subgenii ourselves, choose to question what quest or holy grail the Bob pursues on our behalf. It has been said that we are now entering the final turn, and it may seem strange that Bob, who has for the last few years based himself in the Rothschild North American Center of Operations, has chosen at this critical time to venture into the pinkest of Rockefeller-controlled territory. The answer as to why Bob has taken on this mission comes from a bottom-up analysis, not from some conspiratorial top-down version. Bob has chosen to awaken pinks and subgenii alike by reinvoking the pattern of the lost years, which at electric information speeds become lost weeks. He has set off to wander in strange and troubling lands, seeking advice and offering condolences to various holy offices, to retrieve the wandering sadhu as archetype. Why else would Bob have recently switched from being a man of the pipe to being a man of the Chesterfield? No, I don't mean to imply Bob is a couch potato, but rather that he has taken the self-sacrificing step of switching brands, that we might come to realize the pinkness of the prison that we are creating. It takes a great personal sacrifice from Bob to enter the slackless states, as he has done recently, but remorse not, for he has taken upon himself the slacklessness so that we might free ourselves. So take a hot tip from the old slack master himself. Heart CKLN from your wallet gland. Let CKLN's voice rise above the media babble. Be responsible for media ecology in this, the final turn. Yeah.
And look what happened. They can't maintain linearity. They can't be done on radio.
This is the worst take we've ever had. Heard and had run.
This is the worst take we've ever had.
Please, they can't maintain the linearity. They can't be done on radio.
Please.
You're not coming through, Mike.
I am.
Nope.
Now you are.
I'm here.
More bass.
November 2nd, Mike. That's the 11th month. The second day. That's 2 times 11. The thrilling denouement of Bob's Tour 88. November 2nd adds up to 22. So appropriate.
Bob, welcome back. I had no idea you were going to be back tonight.
I didn't know either until I got here, Mike, because...
I wasn't ready for you either.
You weren't?
No.
No, because you were partying, celebrating your pink professions.
Yeah, which we won't talk about.
No, we can't on this hour.
No. Welcome back. It's really nice to have you back. It really is nice to have you back. It's nice to have you back.
Well, I thought that opening message from George Subgenius was an accurate summary of what I've done of Bob Tour 88. I'm bleeding. And I think the denouement is this moment. I'm glad to be back to present the summation now here with you, Mike.
So the denouement representing the climax of your tour.
Yeah, the emanation and then the return.
The peak.
The going out and the coming back to the bobhead.
The climax.
The bobhead being this electric environment of CKLN.
Where does one begin?
One begins in Chicago. That's where I went first.
Chicago, yeah. Land of the blues.
Yeah, and blues is not a...
The Windy City, Bob.
And one thing about blues, a big mistake, a big misassumption is that blues came from the Africans and then the black race and this stuff. No way. It was the effect of radio on the agrarian blacks when they moved north. The electric industrial mix, that corporate mix, created blues. Nothing to do with the roots. That's Pink Dogma. Bob can elaborate on that if anybody calls up. Anybody cares to hear. It's not that important because the music goes on anyways, right? Explanations are passé right now. They may be thunderous, but they're passé. Okay, I went to Chicago first, right? I left September 22nd. But, of course, Bush and the boys knew I'd be leaving the 22nd, so I fooled them. I left the old pattern number 23. I left on September 23rd, not the 22nd like they expected. All right? But I really did leave the 22nd, symbolically. Still bleeding.
Sorry.
So I went to Chicago, visited the Holy Office of Sherman Scully. As a result of his direct impact and dialogue with me, I was donated all his archives. So Holy Office of Sherman Scully has been pledged to Bob Dobbs. Bob will preserve and maintain those archives when Sherman finishes. All right? Then on to Carmel, California.
Mm-hmm.
To visit the Holy Office of May Brussel.
And I think that's where we heard from you at one point.
Yeah, a very sad commentary from me several weeks ago after May Brussel had died. May Brussel did die. That's true. I was there to pick up the pieces and organize the May Brussel Research Center. Anybody wants to know the address, I'll give it out later. All right? So I helped set up that research center with Tom Davis and John Judge, making sure that Bob's Holy Office of May Brussel continues. That was done there. Oh, by the way, while I was there, I was on the radio several times. I was featured as a guest. I had to present myself as Bob Marshall, you know, on the media because this was totally an underground tour, you know what I mean, an undercover tour. So I went on the radio as Bob Marshall locally in Carmel, still bleeding. I then went down. What?
Should I call a medic?
Mm-hmm. No. I am a medic, Mike. Right. This is the process. Remember? Healed head, bad. Bleeding head, good. Not yet. That's not yet. Tell him not yet.
Not yet.
He's
not
offering yet. The toilet paper, but not yet. Okay, now, from activity in the Holy Office of Carmel and May Brussel, I went down to Los Angeles to visit the Holy Office of Cosmic Awareness. There I began a video series. I did a video interview. I propped up the Holy Office of Dave E. Wooster. David E. Wooster, the second medium for cosmic awareness, part of the not-so-blacked-out history world. I made sure it's not so blacked out. We've got that 2 hours on video. Dave Wooster explaining from 57 to 60 his involvement with the CIA-controlled experiment with LSD for intelligent people, for parapsychologists, for sensitive people. That was 3 years before Tim Leary got involved with LSD, on the record, so to speak. He may have been involved before as MK-Ultra agent, but Dave Wooster has a very interesting story to explain the real purposes, the Bob source of LSD, and how Bob organized the subtle alchemical modulation to mime the electric effect of television. You know what I mean? The tactility of television had to be done on a private level for people's personal brains. LSD did that, Bob chemistry. So we got that on record on video. I then had to visit the Holy Office of Frank Zappa, of course. Spent 7 hours with Frank, 3.5 hours on tape. Will be an exclusive here at CKLN under my colleague Bob Marshall. and 3.5 hours off the record with Frank. He donated all his, well, I would say thousands of hours of recorded concertor to me. It goes to me when he moves on. So Bob consolidated his corporate merger with the Zappa Holy Office. What else? Frank was so impressed with the interview, he may do something with it. Let's keep it under wraps right now.
Okay. You heard it here first, though.
Yeah. It will put CKLN on the map. This is the interview all Zappa heads have been waiting for. 3.5 hours of Bob talking to Frank.
This will only reaffirm your ownership of the station, of course, won't it?
That's right, yeah. Unfortunately, I am the owner of this place, and it's an awesome burden I carry. But I understand many subgeniuses pledged this year, and we did quite well. I then went on to Dallas. I had an unpleasant task in Dallas. I had to visit the not-so-holy office of Reverend Ivan Stang, the anti-Bob force, the Church of the Subgenius fake division subsidiary of my work. And, you know, I surprised Stang. I'm still breathing. I'm still bleeding, too. I'm still talking. Toilet paper's available anytime I need it. See, I got
24 hours a day.
Now, here it is with Stang. He hadn't seen me since 1982, right?
Did you want something to eat?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you ate it.
Okay.
Because you're hungry because you celebrated tonight. Stang was surprised. He hadn't seen me since 82.
Now, let's remind our listeners we have confronted Ivan Stang here on this particular show, haven't we?
April 13th, Wednesday afternoon, yeah. April 13th. A week before Hitler's birthday, a week before Mike's last show on the afternoon gig. Anyways, I hadn't seen him in 82, and as you know, he prophesied the Exodus would land in 1998, but he didn't know they would be speeded up and would land early this year, February 1988. His whole image of what Bob would look like was based on before the Exodus would land. He did not know what Bob would look like after the Exodus had landed. So when I showed up and reminded him of certain personal details that only I would know and he would know that I knew, he couldn't believe I was Bob. He couldn't believe it. I did not look like him. I had Connie with me, too. He hadn't seen Connie. Yeah. And so after an hour or so of a shout-out, tape recorded and broadcast on his show the subsequent Sunday, the actual date of that meeting was, 28th. October 28th was when I had the shout-out with Stang for historians. So he tape recorded that and broadcast it on the 30th. Which was the anniversary of Orson Welles' 1938 Mars Invasion broadcast. All right, 50th anniversary, which, of course, he tried to adapt to the Axis. And he has to play this old theme about the Axis coming, and that Orson Welles mimed it in an earlier form, but the Axis had already landed. So Stang did not recognize me. But after an hour of shout-out, we have him on tape, and he bowed down. He agreed to play it. Have him on tape saying, you know, you might be Bob.
You're kidding.
Yeah. He says, you just couldn't
After
be.
The last confrontation where he denied vehemently that you could not be Bob.
And he was quite certain I was not Bob when I saw him on October 28th because I did not look like the Bob that was prophesied. But that was all based on the pre-Axis landing. And when I convinced him that the Axis had landed, then he had to confess. He told a lot to Connie on the side, but Connie told me later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had a chance with Connie alone, and he really told his feelings, the shock he went through. One thing that Stang did for me, though, one personal thing as a gesture of conciliation and acknowledgement, is he played me October 30th, 1963 edition of The Outer Limits called The Zanti Misfits. Do you remember that version of Outer Limits?
No, I was 2 years old.
It was an excellent show. He had it on tape, and I remember seeing that back then, and it was just great. His archives, which were my archives, I forgot I had it, you know, so then he brought it out and claimed it was his. But it was good to see it again. And then it was on to the Holy Office of Dr. Beter. See, Mike has been drinking tonight, and I have to explain this fantastic summary of the Bob Torrey to a yawning face, to a face that's falling asleep. In other words, I think I'll be on.
I'm not falling asleep. No, it's not true. I'm with you every inch of the way, Bob.
The yawn is what? What? The meridian release. Release of your meridians, right?
Yeah. So I don't explode. Just releasing some air.
All right, but I bet you I'm going to have to talk for 2 hours because you can't really organize the turntables, right?
I can do that.
You promised me 2 hours, Mike, and I'm still bleeding.
I didn't promise you 2 hours. Go ahead.
Okay, so on to the holy office of... Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mike, back in L.A.
So we're backtracking now.
Yeah, back to L.A. before I went to Stang, before I met with the Holy Office of Frank, the KPFK guy, David Porter, interviewed me, Bob Dobbs. So Bob Dobbs was interviewed for 2 hours on that radio station. All right? Very good quality tape. So I was there on the radio. Then down to Dallas, I was on the radio there. Then on to Washington to visit the Holy Office of Dr. Beter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of my major sources, the Evergreens, who sometimes people claim are the X's, but the Evergreens, a very good medium, they told me that there was a very important little volume. They told me this a year and a half ago. Yeah, about a year at least, that there was a little volume of notes by Dr. Beter that are meant for me. I mentioned this to Mrs. Beter many months ago. She couldn't find it. She looked around. I told her the area the Evergreens told me where it was. She couldn't find it. So when I was there on Sunday, October 30th, I went into Dr. Beter's office in his home, checked the library, looked around, couldn't find what I was looking for, which I was sure the Evergreens were right. There were notes there. I was looking with Mrs. Beter through some other papers, couldn't find it. But Connie was scouring through the bookshelf and found it. And now the amazing thing was, I said that this is what the Evergreens predicted. There would be 57 pages of notes. This is all true. So I took the book. Connie slowly handed it to me. I opened it up. I counted the pages of notes. Very interesting material. Private stuff only I would understand. Counted them through. Wouldn't you know, 57 pages.
A moment of silence.
Yeah, 57 pages, just like the Evergreens predicted. So if you want a good psychic source, tune into Bob Source, the Evergreens. So I was given that by Mrs. Beter. And that will be used in my archives. And then I flew back here. So,
are you and Connie well rested after your vacation?
Oh, yeah. Well, Connie was so keen on getting back to work, you know, as a doctor for Bob, that she stayed up all night last night and rushed to work at 7 in the morning and just sat around for the first patient, just loving to get back on that mill wheel of healing and helping and disseminating good vibes, you know what I mean, which Connie's very good at.
God bless her.
Yeah. So, well, of course, I slept in, you know, after a fantastic 5.5-week tour. Bob tore 88. The T-shirts would be coming out in about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
A little delay because of the elections.
Well, the city's on the back.
Yep. And my picture on the front, the new Bob. Not the old Bob, not the one that Stang thought was still around. So, bit of blood there. So, as you see, I've consolidated all the holy offices, most of them anyway, and basically going around doing my administrative responsibilities as chairman of the Secret Council of 10, and I approved it, and that's why this is the denouement, because I made it back alive, and I'm here expressing and explaining and celebrating the fact that I survived my tour into, as George Subgenius pointed out, the heart of Pink Zone America, USA, the United States of Ambiguity.
Any thoughts on the election in the U.S., your observations?
No, election's over. It happened last February when I was elected to Secret Council 10. Any other elections you hear about, not real elections.
You did make a prediction at the time, though, about Gary Hart making a comeback. Is that happening?
Yeah, he's going to make a big comeback.
Yeah.
But that's in the subsidiary mm-hmm. worlds of me. You know, it's not on anything that the regular media, that group of corporate mixed media that brings you the word, that brings you the software fascism, the imposition of content control, all that is pink controlled.
While you were away, Bob, of course, the Canadian election was called, as you are well aware.
Wait a minute. The Canadian election? There's no such thing. So, were they called? Did they answer?
Well, I see. You're playing games with me.
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is the relaxed Bob, the mellow Bob, the post-tour Bob, back mm-hmm. in the dressing room. We're talking to Bob in the dressing room. This is my dressing room.
This is the anxious Mike, the dog, you know, in the backseat of the car, head
right.
bobbing up and down. Mike, who wants to ask you a question. There are over 1,500 people who have been registered as candidates this year in the Canadian election, Bob.
Yeah,
and you know, of course, other than the three major parties in our democracy, there are other fringe candidates, fringe parties.
Well, you know, the Rhinoceros Party is bugging me to run for them.
Well, the
I ain't.
There is the Libertarian Party has the largest number of candidates after the three major parties, with 88 candidates amongst the 295 ridings.
So it's 422 is not a bad number.
They are followed in numbers by the Rhinos.
Yeah.
Led by Charlie McKenzie, I think his name is, isn't it?
No, that's not his name.
Okay. With 74 candidates. There is the Reform Party of Canada with 72.
What about LaRouche?
I'm psychic. I'm leading to this, I know.
Give us LaRouche.
Good synchronicity. And it was 68.
The Green Party, oh my God.
There's also the Christian Heritage Party.
Ah!
You ever heard of them?
I heard a mention of it on the news tonight. Yeah. They said special on the Christian Heritage. There's no such thing anymore.
63 candidates, 31 of them in Ontario, with one in Toronto. And, of course, the Party for the Commonwealth of Canada.
Lynn.
Which is inspired by conspiracy theorist and political oddity.
Is that what they say?
Lyndon LaRouche.
I forgot to tell you, I visited the LaRouche people.
Well, listen, I know, I'm sure you want to get to that after Washington, but 60 candidates, more than the Communist Party this year.
Well, the Communists are the Bolshevik control group, and they're really in trouble, the Bolsheviks, ever since Katz Weinberger went out. So I think the Communists better team up with
LaRouche. Let's get back to Lyndon, though, and your comment. How many did he have last election? It was
three.
Three, and so a big jump this year.
Yeah, I remember Dave Neufeld interviewed one of their candidates in 84 for Newswave here, and the person kind of fell asleep halfway through the interview. Yeah. I think it was a government prop-up, you know, person pretending they're running for LaRouche. Most of the people in the LaRouche party are agents. LaRouche himself is not an agent. He is a genuine sub-genius. Did you see him on TV Monday night? Half-hour broadcast Monday night on NBC talking about the Andropov kindergarten, that group of men who worked in the KGB with Andropov since 67 and pulled that coup off first week of October, I think, end of September.
I think I was sleeping.
All right. Yeah. Well, you were working. You were over. Where were you, in that jazz concert? You know, the Jism? Blues Jism? Out in Victoriaville? I mean, a 19th century metaphor, if there ever was one, eh?
We have another audio. Do you want to play this audio cassette now? Or
oh, no. I'm talking, man. I'm explaining to 80. We got any phone calls? What, 595?
Well, someone's been ringing, but I've been answering it.
Let's check them out. Just check them for a second.
595-1655. My name is Michael Dyer. You're listening to CKLN FM 88.1 in Toronto. This is our regular bi-weekly segment of the Church of the Subgenius and the re-arrival of Bob Dobbs of the Church of the Subgenius. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Are you fielding questions, in fact?
Yeah, if you don't want to answer it, I'll go on to... I forgot to mention that I also visited the Holy Office of Lynn LaRouche in Leesburg on Monday. Yeah. No, Tuesday. No, Monday. Monday. I flew back on Tuesday, I think. And gave them some donations, funded them, propped them up again. LaRouche was indicted a couple of weeks ago, all part of the Dukakis team to stop his influence in the Democratic Party and what they think is propping up the Republican hopefuls. You know, they think of LaRouche as a mole in the Democratic Party. All wrong. LaRouche is the only potential possible presidential candidate we can have as a world-class citizen in the United States. But that, again, would just be a subsidiary of my control anyway. So don't worry if he looks like a Nazi. I got full control of LaRouche. He accepted my donations. Take a phone. Is there anything? Is it, like, really going?
No, I think people are stunned.
There's nobody listening as usual because most of my subgenius buddies are dead, and they're listening on the astroplane.
Yeah, and they can't reach us through the phone.
They can reach me and you as proxy.
Well,
they can't reach us through the red flashing light.
Do you think we alienate our listeners, Bob?
Of course. Yeah. That's necessary. That's part of, you know, the journey is halved. You get rid of half of them and you have the others donate to you. Therefore, less bureaucratic administration costs, right? Always alienate half of your audience because we only need one third at least.
Makes
you
sense.
Only need one third. See, the formula from Dave Wurster, Cosmic Awareness Meeting, is 1.33. Any organization has to operate on a 1.33 increase ratio. That means retrieve your costs and accumulate one third more. That's all. That's a natural form of spiraling progression economically, 1.33. So we alienate half, we use the other half for support, and rely on whatever one third of one half is, one sixth of them to really do the work, which they did on election day back in March when I was voted in. That core group of people, those 14 votes, put me over the top. Just a minute, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're taking calls. Hey, come on, Bob's back. Ask him what it was like to be on Ed Sullivan. You know, what it was like to be on tour and promoted like that, you know.
Bob, you can't push people like this. If they don't want to call you right now, they don't want to call you. Okay, you can't encourage it.
I'm not bleeding anymore. I can take questions.
It's okay. Maybe I'll get something to eat. You sure you don't want to play this tape right now? It's not appropriate.
Does it feel like I've been exciting enough in talking about the tour?
It's been a half hour.
A half hour already?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Put the tape on, man. I can't talk more than half an hour without a little contribution from Stang.
Maybe we could take some phone calls during this tape. Did you want to set up the tape at all?
Yeah, get Martin there to put the tape on.
I put it in. I put it in.
With the pizza stain?
I used the clean hand.
Oh, okay, good.
I did. Do you want to set it up at all or just play it?
I don't know what it is. We're obliged to play it, you know. That was the original reason we got on the air. And, of course, that was not the real reason why we were on the air.
Yeah. But the phone is ringing. Do you want to take a phone call first? Or?
I know. Put the tape on. We'll take the call. If it's a good question, we can't broadcast them, but we'll deal with the question.
I really think about it. How could there really be life on another planet?
Well, there could be life on other planets, but there could also be life on this planet that's so advanced that we don't even know it.
Advanced supersonic Nazi hell creatures from the hollow earth or something like that. There's a
we've heard quite a bit about
that. So,
but
it could be.
It gets pretty complicated. The way we look at it is, no matter how complicated your conspiracy theory gets, it still can't touch the complexity of the whole thing.
But generally speaking, most all conspiracy theories are valid, wouldn't you say?
We're trying to tie every one of them together.
I've been into UFOs for a long time, and the only thing I really, come up with is what I just told you.
Well, don't worry about where they came from, but what they're going to do when they get here.
No telling how long the human race will last.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people get benevolent messages from them, and other people get their cows mutilated.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, by the way, I've got blonde hair and blue eyes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not from the Great White Brotherhood, are you?
Mm-hmm. Not that I know of.
Okay.
Hey! God, hallelujah! Angelic beings fill the universe. I'm not talking about these little fellas they talk about, that have green skin and brown teeth. Few of us have that from smoking too much cigarettes.
Hallelujah, there's all kinds of angels. And then when Jesus was out there, after he'd been tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, you know what it said? A street ministering angel came unto him and ministered strength unto it. So, Brother Templin, there's all kinds of angels. We have the privilege of having these angels encamped around and about us if we are born again children of God and if we're on our way to heaven.
Congratulations, Lily. How's you been? All fine. I've been visiting my mammy. She's waiting on the welcome table over by the throne of grace. She always was pretty holy. I guess the Lord took quite a fancy to her. I declare your mammy's one of the finest late angels I know. She claimed you the best one she knows. Well, when you come right down to it, I suppose we all are pretty near puffy. Where is that, Miss Jenny? I suppose it's case the Lord don't lie associating with the devil anymore. So there can't be no more sin. Oh, faith. I wonder whatever the car is.
I'm talking about what the Bible has to say. When Satan was cast out of heaven, it was only the third heaven of 2 Corinthians 12:7 where he was thrown out. Do you know that Satan and his demonic host still fill heaven 1 and 2, the atmosphere and the stratosphere? Do you know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air and airwaves, Ephesians 2:2? That's why we Christians had such a battle in this Christian walk, because we wrestle against evil spirits in high places, demonic spirits, and they can travel like a flash of lightning. Of course, the world has never considered this. After all, who could believe the strange ramblings?
Suddenly, I've seen this happen many times, folks, and I can't get that excited about it, but I'm going to tell you what just happened. The deacon just faded away. I feel he's still in here with me. He's standing. No, he's laying down. I can feel him. He's laying down. The deacon, he's picking it up, and he's starting to fade back in. Yes, friends, they talk of invisible angels around you. It ain't just angels that can be invisible, friends. It's you, and you can be right where you are, and no one can see you, and you can be right where you are in someplace else, too. And we can...
Munch? On the air with Stang and Drummond. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to make a testimonial. I was formerly a Nimboid, and I found out about the churches of Genius, mm-hmm. and they have been absolutely fantastic for me, opening my life up to so many possibilities. Why, they have taught me all the joy of alien contact, and I have thoroughly just had wonderful experiences and found guidance in my life.
Would you share that with...
Recently, I contacted alien life forces who instructed me, do not eat the flesh of another living creature on your planet. And it has made a tremendous change in my life.
So you really have changed from that former lifestyle, huh?
That's right. And it's all due to the Church of the Subgenius.
Are you still the Nimboid, though?
Well, once a Nimboid, always a Nimboid.
It's in name only, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Well, we really appreciate the testimonial. And we'd like people to know that we can do quite a bit for them.
Listen, and for my information, sort of an outsider here, would you explain to me in some detail really what an alien contact
explain
is?
Explain in some detail what alien contact is and what they look like. Well, certainly.
I was sitting around one night.
I was sitting there one night thinking about the possibility
of being a vegetarian.
Being vegetarian. All of a sudden.
Wonderful direction to my thoughts.
It was
great pepperoni.
Yeah, you get that pizza all over the tape. Look, you're not allowed to. I got Mike. You're finished. You're out of this station. You can't eat in the booth. No food in the booth, Mike. And we got. Listen to his mouth. Mike, see, listen to him. No eating either. That's no. Look at your Pepsi just spilled on the board. You're gone, Kent. No Kent show tonight. This is the end of it. He just blew it. We just got this new equipment today, you know, from our pledges, and Mike just destroyed it with his pizza and Pepsi.
You know we don't get new equipment from our pledges, so smarten up.
Oh, Mike, you're so cynical since you've come back from Nicaragua.
Okay. Church of the Subgenius, a regular tape installment, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, who cares? Somebody named Stang did it.
Well, we did have one lonely caller out there who calls quite regularly. I won't give you his name.
Oh, it's Elliot. Everybody knows Elliot. It's Elliot who calls.
It's Elliot. this listener. Oh, there's the phone again.
Elliot, he's gonna sue now. Elliot's suing.
Wanted to know if there had been any information in the press, the mainstream press, concerning. May's death, May Brussels' death.
Yeah, there were a lot of articles in the California papers, none in Time Magazine's Milestones and Newsweek Transition, which, you know, that's very irresponsible on that level of the media, but they ain't going to tell you May existed. The May Brussels Research Center, I've got leaflets here and stuff about the center, very good little posters and things put out by the center, and anybody who wants to come by can get them. I'm not going to send them out to, you know, I mean, I've got budget problems. I haven't got postal costs. So I can't cover that anymore. But the thing is, because there's no money, it's not that I'm poor. It's just that money is impossible. It does not exist as a medium anymore. And musical chairs are rapidly evaporating, so there's not much time left for the money pinks. What was his question? Was that it?
I think that was the question.
Yeah.
There was nothing here in Canada, in Toronto.
I've got three. Warren Hinkle, the old guy who founded Ramparts Magazine, did a very good article. I haven't read it yet, but someone sent it to me. Did an article on May Brussels. I can offer those Xeroxes of those several articles. No. I do it bad for free. I just don't hate mailing. I will not use the postal service. I will hand out. I will Xerox forever.
Well, I mean, people are willing to come down to the station if you want to leave them here.
Yeah, personal contact with Bob, you know. If you want to get something for Bob, you got to talk. You got to look him in the eye. You got to listen to his face. You got to listen to his nose. So,
Well, why don't we turn the lights up and go to our listening audience here in the studio.
Yeah, we have guests.
Any questions out there in the audience? You, sir, over there in the corner.
You got the Bacardi shirt on.
Yeah, go ahead, fella.
Okay, Bob, I want to know if your return to Canada has anything to do with the Liberals' upswing in the polls.
Bob, let him finish the question, Bob.
And the...
2 points I got to remember, right? What was the first one? Did my return have anything to do with the Liberal upswing and...
The downswing of the dollar.
The down...
What? They're closer to the mic.
Yeah, just can't go near it.
The downswing of the dollar. It went down, I believe, 1.83 cents.
Okay, look. The point is, the election was called while I was away. Fake election, right?
Right.
I mean, we all know I'm
chairman.
Canadian election.
Yeah, but it was called while I was away, just like Stang was here while I was away. The day they nailed Ben Johnson, I want to tell you, Ben, if you're listening, pursue that investigation. You were set up. You're going to be...
Ben does listen to the show, so you are addressing Ben.
Yeah, and Ben is going to be an incredible retrieval of that Canadian archetypal hero. When they apologize to him, when they give him back his gold medal, oh boy, we'll love him. But Ben, pursue that investigation. You've got to get that visual space
and
record.
I just want to add as well that I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing a gun at a person on the highway, and that we support you. We as Canadians support you, and it is okay. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that's part of the free trade. We've got to get like Americans. We've got to compete. We will just be a backwater nation. We've got to become like them to compete, right? Yeah.
Okay. They do it in California.
Yeah, that was an aside. I'm sorry.
All right. Now, Ben, keep that gun. If Ben pursues this investigation, they just might want to eliminate him. So carry that gun, Ben. They're all over. That count, that lord from Belgium, headed in for you. They're racist, those oligarchs, and they went after you. Keep the gun, Ben. Watch out.
Okay.
But pursue the investigation. You will succeed.
Does that answer your question, sir?
No.
I
didn't attempt to answer it, okay? I mean, I was just preambling about the election, all right? Now, you're talking about these fake entities, Turner and people.
You have 3 minutes, by the way.
Of course. Look, don't worry about the liberal upswing. At best, a minority government. Mulroney's going to be prime minister just like Bush is going to be president. It's all pre-programmed, you know, decades ago.
Right.
It's not in the Bible, but it's in Dateline Predominance, you know, in the Book of the Subgenius, it explains why these guys will be official leaders in the Prison of Pink. But you are right. The downswing of the dollar due to the...
Can I tell a joke when this is all done?
Yeah, no problem, Mike. The downswing of the dollar and the surfacing, or whatever you call it, the going up the ladder of polls or whatever that Turner is experiencing, definitely connected. That will certainly sober up the Canadian people, and they will put Mulroney back in. It's just like the Dukakis. It's like a fake final turn. Pretend you're having an exciting race. You know, they're going to have Dukakis up there. He'll be ahead in the polls the day before the election, and he will go, oh, man, the landslide is going to be awesome. Okay, Mike's got the phone. I love it when Mike's got the phone up there. That means we got input. We got dialogue with the subgeniuses live.
It also means we can ad-lib here.
That's right. My Mike will ad-lib.
Yeah.
Advertise the liberals. Ad lib.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, give us the... Mike's not even... I think there's a private call.
Yeah.
All right, so any other points you want to bring up? You're part... Look, there's two ways I can react to you bringing up that kind of question. First of all, it's mental mush. You're talking about what's so obvious, right?
Right.
But the other point is that that's not true.
I got the new Federalist out in the...
good. LaRouche's paper? Good. Yeah. I got to show you my copies. The new Federalist, the only source of real information. But listen to this. I got a good point here. The second point is that that's a very good question you asked me about the mainstream normal news, you know, the mood mud that comes out every day with the headlines of the Toronto Sun. That is the expression of the collective consciousness under electric conditions. Now, we're going into a post-electric consciousness collective consciousness condition, and Bob is that awake state. Finnegan's awake. So you asking me that question, many people will be embarrassed to ask such a bland question of Bob, but it is the most appropriate question to ask because it's what's going on now. It has nothing to do with yesterday, but yesterday was 1,000 weeks ago.
True.
So good question.
And Mike, of course, is still on the phone.
Yeah, it's a long question, very long question. Look at Mike's little data setter just reporting. He's nodding. He understands the question. Very good question.
His little fingers just working the computer keys.
Yeah. Translating it to many languages for the astral plane, the causal plane, the mental plane, all those theosophical divisions, right? Madame Blavatsky, a very great woman. No relation to me, but very great anyways.
Dobbs, not
Blavatsky. Did you know there's Fred C. Dobbs, right, here in Canada?
He's going to be staying in Canada.
Obviously, is he my John the Baptist?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Then there was another Dobbs. Connie Dobbs. No, isn't there a Dobbs I hear on the media? Some sports?
Is he telling me your home? Oh, I see.
Oh, Mike's got a convert. I think he's got a real transformation alchemically going on here.
All the way to the West Coast. I think I heard the word Calgary there.
Well, that's the old Rockefeller Empire. They were left with the Alberta and the right-wingers out there after the Bolsheviks took over Ottawa. That's true. Rothschilds took over Ottawa.
I included my home phone number, but I'd certainly like to have you down some Wednesday night. If you want to. I mean, just to come down and talk. And I think it would be nice to have you down here. You know,
very nice, Mike.
Yeah.
Who put this up here?
Dope, you are what you use.
Isn't that clever?
Mm-hmm.
Dope, you are what you use. That should be plastered all over the city by the next
week. That would be great. Well, do try to get in touch.
The elected, you are what you voted.
Ah, so you put that up there. It says Frank Zappa right under it there.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. 1984.
84. Yeah. You think I put it up there?
No. Not into vandalism?
I'm the electric dope. I'm the drug. You know, language is a drug. Just like us talking now, it assuages the sensory nervous system of the listener and the creator at the same time. This is an alchemical transmutation that not many people are aware of articulating in a conscious way. I mean, maybe Paul Hodge, whoever that guy was, who donated money to the music gallery guy. You know, the music gallery guy. He donated to my show. I mean, those pig stars, the council grant people, you know what I mean? They want to be part of Bob. They want to donate some of our tax money to me, you know what I mean, through the music gallery. Oh, that's outrageous. Paul, if you're listening, come on down. Let's jam. Come on down. We're on a jam, Paul. Yeah, language is a drug. There's no doubt about it. Jogging is a drug. Life is basically a drug. All the physical activities are drug now. Are addictive anesthetics for the shocking state we're in, which is post-human dimension. I mean, we've evaporated. I mean, that's why, you know, Dr. Strangelove came out in 64. I mean, rearview mirror movie, all about old wars fought in the 30s. Nuclear wars, 30s. That was done in the 30s. We've evaporated. We have evaporated.
I don't know Calgary very well. I spent
and
a little bit of time.
The hidden ground of that. The hidden ground of that.
Yeah, we're getting right here. And,
the hidden ground of the fact we evaporated is me, you know, Bob. Yeah, and Bob is that there, extension of
in the gas
you, Kent, of you under electric conditions. I'm the extension of you under electric conditions.
You've been listening to my show again, have you?
Wasn't that interesting when I did broadcasting right. California radio?
That
was good.
I enjoyed that. I had a couple of people call up about that, wondering where the hell that was coming from.
Yeah, that was psychic.
I'm going, Carmel, California. They're going, no way.
It was beyond the dimensions of those who live in the little village of Toronto. Yeah. They don't know how tiny the planet is. You get Bob down there in California, I can broadcast anything.
Carmel, California, and I can broadcast it to the people of Toronto.
Yeah, I bet you the CRTC hasn't even got regulations for that. We could broadcast all kinds of stations on CKLM for free. They wouldn't know it, you know? We've got to get subscribers down in other major centers in North America, and we have, you know, time slots where they can broadcast representative samples of their radio in that environment. This would be better than you know, Twin Cities, you know, the Twin Cities. Do you think you go to China? This would be twin media. You know, twin radio, twin electric.
It's long distance. But either call or write, Rodney, and just respond to the letter, because there are a few other things I've...
One-sided conversation over here.
No, that's all right.
I've mentioned a few other things in there, so it would be good to hear from you, and we'll stay in touch. Okay, Rodney. Bye. Bye. Sorry, Bob.
Oh, that was a long question.
It was. No, it wasn't a question at all. It was a personal phone call. It was a call from Calgary, actually.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's why you wanted to broadcast to make like you have a network beyond Toronto.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
he's a really interesting guy, and I'm sure even Ken probably knows him. His name was Bartok Guitar Splat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Who has really regularly for the last, I would say, 6 or 8 months sent down audio cassettes to the station and to myself, and I didn't know where they came from or who this person was. There was never a return address, never a phone number. And they're really interesting tapes, and it's at least once a month. And
anonymous audio tapes.
That's right. And he pledged on my show, but through the mail, a $25 pledge, because he was moving to Calgary.
Oh, he was here. He knows your show.
Yeah, and has put up some really interesting tapes. We'll play some later on.
Yeah.
I actually brought one down to play tonight.
Did he know you were beyond
it? Yeah, that's why he called tonight.
Just making sure you're going
to
play it.
And I'd mentioned to David Bernard, I said I really would like to get in touch with this guy and just to talk to him. And so he's from Calgary, so he'll be back in March, and he's there on business just for a few months.
But he was from Toronto.
No, he was from Calgary originally, but was living in Toronto and has moved back to Calgary now.
Did he ever talk to you while he was in Toronto?
No, not at all.
So, he wants that feeling of electric discarnateness.
Yeah.
Call, mix the media. Call by phone.
I'm sorry, I missed what you guys were talking about.
Oh, great idea. I think we got a new campaign we can start. You missed the time when Kent substituted for you and I broadcast California radio on CKLM.
Yeah.
Why don't we start, this could be exclusive to CKLM, let's start not a Twin City program that they have for American and Canadian cities and Canadian Chinese cities. You know how they have one city or town in Canada
goes over
and visits a city in China?
Like Scarborough and Milan.
Yeah, Milan, right. That's just north of Mongolia, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't we have twin media or twin radio spaces?
I'm beginning that this Sunday, actually, on my new program.
You mean you already got this idea?
No, I'm rebroadcasting radio programs from all over the world.
Yeah, but why don't we do it live? Like, we get people...
Because it costs money, Bob.
No, but I can pay for it. You know, that's I mean, I can carry this. We get people down in California, New York, Albania, or Algeria, or you know, any place that has radio. Very funny scene. You had to see it to be it, you know, to see what happened to Mike there.
Side joke.
Mike's really... Yeah, so we...
Great idea, Bob.
Yeah, well, we mix media.
Why don't you talk to the station manager
about that? We broadcast CKLN into Atlanta, Georgia.
Don't call us.
Good idea.
We'll call you. All right. Let's wrap things up. You're way over your time limit tonight.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, it's good to have you back.
It was fun to be back.
You'll be back in 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm staying here in Toronto. America's Pinkville. It doesn't have much power anymore. I've got the power. It's coming to Toronto.
Okay.
Wayne Gretzky, a military operation for me into Los Angeles.
All right.